Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And after a very long, busy summer with conference consolidation, NIL stuff, it is finally game week. Week zero kicked off last week. This week, the Hoosiers kick off at home on September 2nd against Ohio State at 3:30 in the afternoon. The game will be televised on CBS. It is the first Big Ten game to be on CBS since the 80s. So that should be a great watch and a great broadcast. TJ, how are you doing?
Doing great. Very excited, obviously, to be talking an actual game. Obviously, it's one that, is going to be incredibly difficult for Indiana, and we will get into the specifics of that matchup. But look, college football is here. Take a deep breath, soak it in, and enjoy week one. Coming up, we don't anticipate it to be a particularly meaningful win for Indiana on Saturday, but just being able to watch IU back on the field along with the rest of the action going on in week one has really got me excited. I'm ready for it. And, we'll get into, look, what exactly does this game mean for Indiana? What does it mean if they are competitive? What does it mean if they get their doors blown off? It's coming out of this game saying, well, they're 0-1. Oh, well, there goes the season. That's not the approach to take this week.
Yeah, it's hard to open the season with an opponent like Ohio State and remain super positive and all of those things, but it is a long season. There are 11 other games after this. It is not a loss here. It would not be unexpected, but it also wouldn't be season crushing. Now, it only would be season crushing if something disastrous happens, somebody gets hurt and all that stuff, which we hope doesn't happen. But let's get into this game a little bit. IU has not defeated Ohio State since 1988. They've been close a couple of times, looking back at it in 2012, 2015 comes to mind as well. TJ, just what's your impressions of the game, and what are you looking for to take out of this game that will give you some confidence and maybe some hope for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think it's important to put this into context. Indiana has to play Ohio State. They're on the schedule every year. We know this. It's a problem. Now, getting them this week potentially could be a better time to play them than any other time. Look, Indiana's got a ton of new personnel, a ton of changes, both in coaching and on the roster. We don't know who's going to be playing quarterback, if there's going to be multiple people playing quarterback. But we do know it will be somebody that didn't start last year and doesn't have much experience. Ohio State is kind of in the same boat with that. They have changes on the offensive line with two new starting tackles that they need to break in. They've got a change at quarterback with what it seems like is going to be two guys playing, Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, both likely to get action on Saturday, according to Ryan Day's comments previously. There's an opportunity here for Indiana to potentially show some things that they haven't shown before in terms of offensive scheme, defensive scheme with the new play caller and Coach G, Matt Guerrieri. There's an opportunity for IU to at least keep this more competitive than you would otherwise expect it to be. Now, to look at the previous matchups between Ryan Day and Tom Allen as the head coaches of their respective schools, these last four games, you've got the 2020 matchup, which we all remember, 42-35 for Ohio State. Really fun contest. It was kind of a Michael Penix introduction to the college football world at large. The IU offense was able to take advantage of an Ohio State secondary that really didn't know what they were doing, and IU exposed that game. The other three games, 51-10, 54-7, and 56-14. And you look at what Ohio State's offense has done in those games, you're looking at 607 yards, 539 yards, 662 yards over the past three seasons. Those are the totals that Ohio State's offense has run up on Indiana. And look, last year, Ohio State could have gained whatever they wanted to. I mean, they really could have. So taking that into consideration, I think you were looking for, okay, comparatively, where does IU stack up? Right now, the line on this game is Ohio State favored by 30. Clearly, nobody believes Indiana has any chance to even keep this competitive, and based on recent history, that makes sense. So from my perspective, what I'm looking for is, looking at those previous meetings, does Indiana keep this one more competitive? Do they show more resistance to Ohio State's offense? Do they keep Ohio State's defense from living in their backfield? Are they able to put together some successful drives and keep this thing competitive at least into the second half? You know, that's kind of what I'm looking for as a marker that would tell me, okay, you know, there has been some progress here and there's a reason to be optimistic moving into week two and really into week three, because next week you're going to be going up against an overmatched opponent. So after that, you're looking at, okay, those first 2 weeks, what did those show you, positive and negative, heading into more matchup opponents? That's what I'm looking at. And the questions, I mean, who can even begin to list all of the questions that we have in terms of new personnel, new coaches, potentially new schemes, so many unknowns that we're going to find out our first piece of evidence and answers in. There's not going to be definitive answers like, oh, well, this change is awesome and this change sucks. You cannot come to conclusions after just this one piece of evidence, but it is going to be your first piece that allows you to start to put together the puzzle on what this IU team is going to be this season.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan, you want to see improvement. And that means I'd like to see IU come out and just function. And function well. You saw the dysfunction last year against Nebraska. They had to call timeout on the first play from scrimmage. You know, you look at the Cincinnati game where they, at the end of the first half, have a sack fumble return for, you know, for a touchdown. Just try and play as clean of a game as possible, but also show that you have that Tom Allen has control and command of, you know, of the team, of the sideline, and don't do those things that, you know, everybody on social media says, oh, he's a high school coach. He's a high school coach. Look at what he did. It's time to clean those up. Now, it's not all on Tom Allen and it's not all on the players and all of that stuff. But, you know, if you get the ball first, don't start with the mistake. If your first drive ends up with a punt, great. Don't have one of those killer turnovers or, you know, take the ball out of the end zone, 9 yards deep out of the end zone on kick return and get tackled at the 10. Like, try and set yourself up for some momentum. Now, it might not last the entire game, but, you know, show some improvement where you go, okay, we've definitely improved from 2022 to 2023. And like you said, along the offensive line with Bob Bostead, with Matt Guerrieri on defense, with, you know, even as the quarterback, yeah, IU started 3-0 last year, but, you know, all three of those games were come from behind games in the second half. IU was down, you know, big to Idaho at halftime. It's time to, okay, can this team function like they were functioning in 2019 and 2020? And, you know, if IU walks out of there and lose by, you know, four touchdowns, that's, I'm not looking at the final score. I'm looking at, did they, you know, did they play well? You know, I know that's moral victories and all that stuff, but it's a step in the right direction. It's okay. You might have lost to Ohio State, but if you play like that against Louisville, against Rutgers, against Michigan State, and against Purdue, you're probably going to win. You can't win games with having punts blocked or, you know, taking timeouts unnecessarily in the first half, like they did against Nebraska last year, or the utter implosion against Cincinnati, you know, in the second quarter there. And just give yourself a shot. You're the best shot to win. And that's what I'm looking for. TJ, turning to some keys to the game, if IU is going to win this game, what do they need to do well? What is the top thing that they need to do well?
I mean, the obvious answer to this is going to be has to play a perfect game. In terms of specifics and keeping this thing competitive and giving Ohio State some real resistance, I think the first thing IU has to do is pressure the passer. Really, they need to win the line of scrimmage battle against the Ohio State offensive line. Indiana's defensive line has gotten a lot of talk this offseason from the coaches about how good that unit looks. A lot of new bodies, Linnell Carr and Andre Carter jump out, but a lot of new bodies, increased size, increased speed up front for the Hoos on the line. State does have some questions on the offensive line. They have a quarterback back there that, you know, whoever it is, Brown, McCord, both of them, they don't have much experience. So if Indiana can get some pressure on them, force them into some mistake, rattle them a little bit, get into the opposing backfield, get to Ryan Williams and Travion Henderson before they get into the second level of the defense on a consistent basis. Those kind of things could get Ohio State's offense off schedule and provide some resistance to the Buckeyes. That's kind of my first thing. You could extend it out to, you know, win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, but focusing on IU's defensive line, which they hope is a strength this season, versus an Ohio State offensive line that does have some question marks.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, along that point, IU doesn't know who their starting quarterback is and haven't announced it. Neither has Ohio State. So, one, the message to our listeners is IU's not the only person who hides these position battles. It's every football team in the country. You know, Ohio State's ranked third in the country for a reason. They're really good. They know how to run their program. Hey, they're not announcing their quarterback publicly until the game starts either. So guess what? It's okay to do that. They don't owe anybody an answer to who won the quarterback battle outside of the people on the team. And I think the people on the team know. So that'll be okay. But like you said, pressuring that quarterback for Ohio State, whether it's Devin Brown or Kyle McCord, is going to be huge. And that's the complementary football we talked about all summer in our previews, is can that defensive line help out that secondary by speeding the quarterback up and making him think and things like that. Now, look, Ohio State has all worldwide receivers with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Amika Buka. So it's going to be really tough, even if you speed him up, speed the quarterback up. If you throw it in the zip code of Marvin Harrison Jr., he's probably going to catch it. He's pretty darn good. But you give yourself the best, the as best of a chance as you can by getting in the backfield and and proving to, I think the fans are in prove it mode. And if you could prove it to the fans that this defensive line is improved and better and has some playmakers, maybe they buy into to the hype a little bit. For me, the thing that IU needs to do, they need to win the special teams game in that phase of the game. Not play even, not just – they need to win the special teams battle. You have an All-American kick returner in Jalen Lucas. Now, if Ohio State's going to kick to them, is anybody's question. But you could put them in some tough situations – put some pressure on that kicker with Jalen Lucas back there. You also have an all Big Ten punter who had 30 plus punts inside the 20 yard line last year. Set your defense up well. And the defense has got to come through like that too. We'll see in the punt return game, and the field goal game is a little bit of a question too. They have not named a starter at kicker publicly. I would believe that they have internally. It was something to be desired, that position coming out of spring practice. We'll see if Nico Radicic, the true freshman out of Texas, can take the job by the horns. But he was banged up in camp, so you know that's a bit of a question mark. But if they, you know, you can't miss field goals, you can't miss extra points, you can't have punt blocks, which they did against Ohio State last year. You need to convincingly win that special teams battle and field position to at least give yourself a chance to not only keep it competitive, but maybe give yourself a chance to steal one against the Buckeyes too. TJ, what's the third thing that IU has to do to win this game?
I'm going to go with they need to make Ohio State miss some tackles. That's going to mean scheming your guys to get into open space. And then once you're in open space, making their defenders miss some tackles. It's week one. Tackling could be a little, you know, a little shaky. Guys might be a little rusty on that side of the game because there's not a lot of live tackling in practice anymore. So, you know, that's an opportunity that IU could have to turn a 10-yard gain into a 50-yard gain because you forced a missed tackle. That's something I'm looking at really on both sides of the ball. Ohio State, obviously so explosive on offense, limiting big plays is something you want to try to do. And that means tackling in space, and the opposite's true when you're on offense, you want to try to get those explosive plays. And part of that is going to be scheming players open. When they get in space, you make them and miss, and you turn that into a bigger gain and an explosive play. I do want to, you know, just we won't ignore the elephant in the room. What do you think happens at quarterback? Do you think we see two quarterbacks for Ohio State? Do you think we see two quarterbacks for Indiana? Do you think that that this continues to be a competition that Indiana wants to see in live game situations? We don't have any inside info on this. Just, you know, what is your feeling on how the quarterback situation for both teams plays out on Saturday? And, you know, how do you think that's going to ultimately impact the outcome of this game?
Well, even though they're two similar decisions and similar battles between young, inexperienced quarterbacks, if I was the head coach, it would be two totally different reasons why I picked the same decision. And that decision is to play both guys. Let's start with the Ohio State. For Ohio State, it's a game that, let's be honest, you should win by a few touchdowns and win comfortably. And you need your guys to get some game reps. I could see them splitting reps. Maybe somebody gets the first two drives and then somebody gets the next two drives. but it's not going to be whoever their quarterback is plays for three quarters. The backup comes in for the fourth quarter and hands the ball off. If Ryan Day does that, that's his decision. If I was a head coach at Ohio State, that's not what I'm doing, because I want both quarterbacks to have game reps in an opposing stadium when the lights are on, you know, to see what they have. And, you know, I talked to Alex Gleitman of Buckeye Huddle. We'll have that conversation on the site later in the week in our opponent's roundtable. But we discussed just that in the quarterback situation at Ohio State. For Indiana, to me, it's you got to play the hot hand. If whoever starts, and I don't know who's going to start, it really has been a back and forth battle. One day one guy looks great, one day the next guy looks great. And if it's that kind of inconsistency, you got to ride with the hot hand. I think both of them play a lot of snaps against Ohio State. But down the season, did they settle on somebody? I don't know. But I think for IU, given how the quarterback battle has gone and what we've heard and seen at practice, if I was the offensive staff at IU, roll with the hot hand. And you know, if they start, let's say they start Taven Jackson, if he had, you give him the first two series, if he looks good, okay, go to Sorsby for two series and then play the guy who's been better. And that's what you're going to have to do. These guys do not have a lot of experience under their belts against opposition and in games. So, I mean, that's how I see it shaking out. You're going to see both guys for both teams. Now, they might be used a little differently on each side, but both sides are trying to figure out who their guy is going forward, and the best way to do that is in-game reps. Hopefully the game doesn't get out of hand too early for IU or even for Ohio State. I think you secretly want this to be a competitive game. So you could have those reps early in the season before some of these matchup games.
Yeah, I think it's a valid point. And I tend to agree. I think what you're looking for Indiana going up against an elite defense like this that, you know, has kind of stars at every level of it, and, you know, if they're going to out-athlete you in most positions, what you're looking for is, okay, what can our scheme, which, you know, we believe is going to look different than it did last season. There were tweaks made to it that are better fitting of this personnel. They've added guys, and obviously it's going to be a new quarterback. So I think that's what you're looking for is, okay, we are going to be outmanned in a lot of our games. So what can we do as an offensive staff to help put our players in successful positions and to give them a chance to make plays? And where are positions on the field that we have a chance to have success? And that's your first crack at it is Saturday. So you're looking for ways to get Jalen Lucas involved. You're looking for ways to get him 15 to 30 touches. You're looking for ways to get Josh Henderson and Christian Turner on the field and to get them involved. You're looking for how you can leverage the slot receiver position with the different weapons you have now, the different versatility you have at wide receiver with a fast guy like Cam Perry and a veteran physical receiver like DeQuise Carter. You know, those different matchups that you can create with the personnel that you now have. So I think what you're looking for Indiana is to get out there against a really good defense with exceptional athleticism and be able to see, hey, look, what we worked on all offseason, here's proof of concept. It works. It works. And you get buy-in that way. If they can have some success, you get that buy-in. And then you improve that buy-in and increase it next week against Indiana State by having more success. You know, that's what you're looking for as an offense. And obviously, trying to evaluate, do we have one guy that's going to pull away from the other at quarterback? We'll see if that happens on Saturday. But moving on, it's kind of my last key to this game. It's going to be kind of the case in any upset bid, if you will, or a severely overmatched opponent trying to keep a game really competitive. You got to create those turnovers.
Yep.
That's something Indiana has worked on all off season, trying to get more disruption in their defense. And it's got to happen. They need to win the turnover battle. And honestly, to keep it competitive, they're going to have to win the turnover battle somewhat significantly. Something like 3-1 or, you know, 4-1, something like that, where force Ohio State in multiple mistakes and limit their number of turnovers themselves. You know, if you can do that where you're scoring off of those turnovers, then you're in business. But forcing those turnovers, one, gets Ohio State off the field without scoring, and two, potentially puts your offense into really advantageous field position, depending on where that turnover occurred. So that's a great equalizer, if you will, when there are two teams that are like this. So, you know, kind of as we turn it towards you, if there's kind of one thing that stands out that you're coming out of Saturday, what is one thing that IU could do on Saturday that you would leave that game feeling like, okay, that was a success. I'm ready for week two. I feel good about it. What's that one thing that you really would stand out above others beyond just IU getting out of the game healthy?
You stole mine. Just get out of the game healthy. No, it is limit the self-inflicted mistakes, like the turnovers. Last year, you know, looking at the red zone score percentage, you know, they had 43 trips inside the red zone, 32 scores, 22 touchdowns, and 10 field goals. That's not a – you need to cash in, you know, at least on touchdowns too, but you can't miss – field goals if you're down there as well. That goes back to 2021, TJ, to that Cincinnati game where I think IU had three trips inside the 15 and came away with 0 points in a game that was a 42-24 or a 38-24 loss. It's those things. It's can you close those gaps? Can you increase the red zone scoring into, if you're there 43 times, can you score 35 touchdowns and kick 15 field goals instead of 32 and 10? Again, turnovers, can you cash those into points? You know, can you get back to what the DNA of those 2019 and 2020 teams were, which was create takeaways, score points off of those takeaways, and help your offense that way. If they do that, and look, that 2019 IU team lost 51-10 to Ohio State, and they ended up with 8 wins. So what happens against Ohio State does not dictate what happens the rest of the season. But you could tell just through the execution and the flow of the team, and does this team look ready to play, is what I want to take away from this game.
Yep. That's exactly what I was going with, is the overall aggression and mentality of this team after 2 years of really just being stomped on and being kicked. And then an off season where, I mean, pretty much every national analyst or site has largely dismissed your program as the worst or one of the worst teams this year in the Big Ten. You know, look, if you were collecting bulletin board material, you would need a very, very large bulletin board.
Yes.
So there's plenty of reasons for IU players to have motivation to come out on Saturday, be ready to go and be fired up. So I'm looking to see what is the response to the challenge. What is the response? And again, the result might not end up reflecting that. But if there are individual things you can take away from it and the overall team kind of the way that they approach Saturday's game, the way that they battle, and I think that that's kind of what you're going to take away from it. It's going to be difficult to quantify because the obvious thing, the only thing that really matters is that scoreboard. And it's, just to be frank, it's unlikely to be all that close. We have the results history right in front of us. We know, you know, we know what the two teams doing battle are. We know. But I do think that there's so much that is unknown about this team that what I'm most looking forward to is just starting to get the answers to that and starting to be able to get again, put together a puzzle. And you're starting to get those first pieces that you're starting to put them into place. And you can see, I think that's what these first 2 weeks are going to be, is putting pieces into place that you then take with you after these first 2 weeks. And I don't want to say start the season, but really begin to play games where it's very unclear what's going to happen. Those matchup opponents. Now, as we look to predictions, I'll go ahead and toss mine out there. I am predicting that Ohio State kind of walks to a win here, but I do think that IU keeps this more competitive than they have in the past couple of seasons. I do think that there will be kind of that step forward. So I'm going to offer a couple of predictions. The first is going to be that IU goes over 250 yards of offense, which is sounds like a low number, but against the Ohio State defense, that's not a terrible showing. So I think IU goes over 250 yards of offense, keeps Ohio State below 500. Yep, below 500 yards of offense.
Ohio
State Buckeyes
whole team
get the win,
or
but IU
Jr.
The Ohio State whole team. Harrison Jr. might have 300 himself if they want to, but I think the team for Ohio State goes under 500 for the total yardage or total offensive yards. Ohio State gets the win, but it's a little bit more competitive than it has been. Buckeyes win this one, and I'm going to go with a score of 45-21. 45-21 in favor of Ohio State. I think that Indiana does put up some resistance, and I think we're going to leave Saturday feeling like we know a little bit more about this IU team than we did going into it. And I think it will be overall a fairly positive Saturday. But of course, the number one thing you're hoping for is that IU does get out of this game without any significant injuries that, you know, really alter the shape of the season. That would be the one killer to come out of Saturday if something like that were to occur.
Yeah, just get out of there healthy. That's key number one, because if you lose a quarterback, a couple offensive linemen, a couple defensive linemen, and some secondary players and a linebacker, you know, your season could be shot, and we've seen it before. For me, TJ, I think Ohio State comes in and wins. You know, it'll be good to see where IU stands and answer a lot of the questions that everybody has going into this season. I think IU might catch them off guard a little bit at the beginning. It's a good time to catch Ohio State in a period of transition. Now, look, Ohio State's period of transition could be an 11-1 season with a playoff berth, but breaking in two new quarterbacks, a new offensive coordinator, three starting offensive linemen. It might take them a little bit to get that engine humming. But I'm with you. I think IU covers that 30-point spread. And the score is something like 45-24 or 45-20, something along those lines, which walking out of that, I think even the national people, because there have been several national people who said Tom Allen's getting fired mid-year, and that's just not accurate, unless something crazy happens. But You know, you walk out of it, kind of like the 2017 game where you trade blows back and forth early, and Ohio State's just talent level is better than IU and pulls out. So I'm with you. I'll go. I won't pick the same exact score, but I'll go 49-24 Ohio State.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we're roughly in line there. So biggest thing for me, again, everybody, you know, we've waited a long time for this. You know, try and enjoy it, take a deep breath, and, you know, soak up the first actual week of college football. I know it was a brief taste during week zero, but, you know, a lot of huge games this coming Saturday, a lot of games that are just going to be fun. Regardless of the, you know, overall quality of the two teams, it's great to have the sport that we love back, and have Indiana back on the field to be able to follow and see how this season, you know, how it develops. I mean, there's just so many question marks, so many unknowns, a lot to be excited about, a lot to be, you know, very nervous about, but I'm just very, very happy that it's back. It's going to be a whirlwind of a season. We know how quick it goes by, so don't take it for granted. You know, it'll be gone before we know it again, and we'll be back to the darkness of the off season. So thrilled to have college football back. We are thrilled to be here on the podcast with anybody listening, so we appreciate it. And you know, let's go. Let's have a good season.
Yeah, there are a couple more things I'm watching, TJ. I want to see how these new clock rules at week zero, I don't think it affected very much, how the new clock rules affect the game. I am sick and tired of conference expansion talk. I hope that goes by the wayside as games start up. And, you know, I'm just interested how the Big Ten East shakes out, because for the first time in a few years, I think there are three teams who could legitimately win the Big Ten East, and it should be a very fun year in the Big Ten, and hopefully Indiana can add to that excitement and make it a fun, make football fun again for IU fans who have had two pretty miserable seasons in a row in 2021 and 22. So thanks for listening. Again, IU against Ohio State kicks off at Memorial Stadium on CBS at 3:30 in the afternoon. There are still tickets available through the IU website, also on SeatGeek as well. You can follow us at Hoosier_Huddle. We have all of the preseason content up. You need a position preview. You need a player preview. It's all up there on HoosierHuddle.com. TJ, enjoy the opening weekend of college football. Enjoy the long weekend as well. And hopefully there are a lot of good games for people to tune into.
Yep. Thanks, everybody. And have a good rest of the week. And go Hoosiers.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian? Or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.